Leanne and worship team. Amazing. The presence of God in this place is just so full and so refreshing. And for all those online today, hi, my name is Chas. It's Carlo Antonio Lando Petro Gullo. It's given to him by my father. I'm sorry, can't change that, but that's my name. And some of you I know and most of you I don't, but so good to be with you. I love your pastors, Darren and Fiona. I'm just hope they're going to have a refreshing time as they have 2 weeks of quarantine without anyone annoying them. What a wonderful experience that would be. One of my sons had come back from Hawaii this week and he's doing the same thing with his wife, 2 weeks by himself. And so it's a good time to refresh other things in our life. This morning in my devotional time, I had this scripture that came and I'd love to share it with you. I think it's very pertinent for today. It says this in the Bible. It says this: life is good for the one who is generous and charitable, conducting affairs with honesty and truth. Their circumstances will never shake them, and others will never forget their example. I love that. Others will never forget the example that we as Christians, how we live through this time. And he goes on to say, they will not live in fear or dread of what may come, for their hearts are firm, even secure in their faith. Listen to that. What this Passion Bible says, their heart are firm, even secure in their faith, steady and strong. They will not be afraid, but will calmly face their enemy until they know their enemy goes down in defeat. What an amazing scripture of confidence that God gives us through his word. The word is just so powerful. So this morning I wanted to share, when I first asked by your pastor to come and share here, placed by my heart to talk about the kingdom of God. And let's pray. Father, this morning as we abide by word, as we come to this place of hearing the word of God says to us, I pray that this word is a word in season for us, as we accept the challenges are here and know that God will never forsake us, never abandon us in this journey through this situation for your glory in Jesus' name. Have you asked yourself why John the Baptist didn't come and try alter the Jewish religion, the way they were practicing their Judaism? He came and preached on the kingdom of God. And you've asked yourself why Jesus came and preached on the kingdom of God. And then when Jesus sent his disciples out, his two by two, he told them to go and preach on the kingdom of God. He never told them to preach on him, never told them to preach on Judaism. He told them to preach on the kingdom. It's because I believe that when Adam was sent to this planet, he wasn't sent to establish a religion of followers. He was actually sent to establish a kingdom of leaders and doers. Because the first command that God gave Adam, he says, go in and have dominion of all the earth. Now, dominion is a governmental word. It's not a domination where people are controlled. Dominion is a serving in a governmental position to make sure all those in your responsibility are cared for. That's why Jesus often talked about the greatest leader is the greatest servant. And he brought that up through his whole ministry of we are in dominion, not in domination. When people grab hold and think they've got to control the situation rather than lead through the situation, they miss what God was saying. The first command was, go and have dominion over all the earth. And he put that in position. Then we hear that he got challenged by a snake. A snake caused Eve to doubt what God had said about dominion. And in that doubt, they both fell for it and Adam lost not a religion, but he lost a kingdom. He lost a kingdom. And now he was sent out to go and work. You see, when you're into works, you're into religion. When you're into faith and trust in our God, you're into kingdom. And God wants to encourage us this morning about the power of the kingdom and getting away from the deception of religion. You know, when Eve was spoken to by that snake, the word snake in the Hebrew comes from the word hiss, H-I-double, hiss. Eve heard a hiss, and the hiss was encouraging her to doubt what God had said. But when the Holy Spirit comes, he talks to us with a whisper. And so we have a challenge in our life between a hiss that wants to give us doubt or a whisper that comes to encourage us about what God says. And I can imagine during the time that Eve was there being challenged by the hiss, that there would be the whisper speaking. But she got inspired by her own pride to say, well, maybe God is hiding something from me. And she chose not to trust and have faith in her God and trust in herself. And in that, she fell. But the sad thing about it was that Adam, who had dominion for his wife and for his children, should have actually said, sweetie, okay, hey, you made a mistake. Let's go and ask God to forgive us and let's walk away from here. Because he was in dominion of that situation. His responsibility to see her okay, but he failed her and he fell for the same sin. He lost the kingdom. And so we see the journey that takes place through that was that they began to have to work. Eve would then have to suffer. Women have to suffer through childbirth. Men have to go to work, which is good. But in the garden, God just told us to tend the garden. If you ever had a garden which is thriving, all you're doing is pulling out the odd weeds here. It's just flourishing. But if you've got to work a garden, because there's weeds and thorns, you've got to dig it up. There's work and sweat and you've got bugs there. There's a difference between working and tending. Tending is a wonderful experience of seeing the fruit and the flowers and the joy of seeing the creation that God's given us survive and go forward. And God says, you're going to go out and work. You're going to have pain and childbirth. You're going to have death. All the things that took place because people fail to trust their God. You know, when Jesus came to the earth, he had his first sermon, the Beatitudes. He didn't say, blessed are the poor and blessed are the religious followers, for they shall please God. He said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. And Jesus began to preach from his first sermon on the kingdom. Something about God wants us to not have trust in our own strengths, but our trust in God. And that's where the kingdom of God reigns. Because the ultimate end of knowing the kingdom is knowing who the king is. His name is Jesus Christ. And when people don't see Christ yet, because religion has blurred the place of who Christ is. Let me tell you a little bit about religion. If religious followers, they say this, we're meant to be reverent, holy and prayerful. Nothing wrong with that. But the kingdom says, rejoice, celebrate and encourage, have freedom. And there's a little bit of a difference between works and the part of the spirit of the kingdom. The religion says tithe. Kingdom of God says be generous. One's giving you freedom to be what God wants you to be. Religion says make your children behave. God says train up champions. There's a whole difference when you come to the kingdom. There's a freedom given to all of us to go forth and see God's power. Religion says, wives, obey your husband. The kingdom says, be the best helpmate to his vision. Religion says, provide for your wife. Husband, good idea. All that's good. But kingdom says, encourage her to be the best woman she wants to be. And there's a whole different attitude as we approach the kingdom compared to religion. The religion says, do an honest 40 hours of work, which is good. But really, a Christian employee would be saying, bless your boss, be the best employee while seeking promotion and leadership roles. God wants us to develop ourselves and be free in this wonderful kingdom. Bosses, treat your workers fairly, which is correct, but that's religion. But kingdom is encourage your employees to achieve great futures for themselves. There's a whole change of dominion when you're walking in the kingdom of God. How about attend church? That's religion. But God says, make disciples. Evangelize your neighbors. Bring people into knowing Christ. See, the power of religion lies in its ability to serve as a substitute for the kingdom. Religion can make you feel like, I'm being a good boy. I'm now being holy. When I was brought up in a denomination, and I was called, our church was the only one. Everyone else was wrong. Everyone else is going to hell. And our church was right. And I was following all the parameters of this church. I was really good. Wasn't really good at all. I was being robbed of a tremendous experience in God. But it happens to so many. they're caught up in religion and not the freedom that a dominion brings when we know what God wants us to say and do. And John the Baptist and Jesus, when they came, they focused on the kingdom. And they brought a challenge to the religious Jews. Come on, guys, you're missing this whole process of what God has given us as Jewish people, them as Jewish people, to do and show the world. Religion has caused Jesus to be the most misunderstood teacher on the earth. Religion has painted him in an interesting fashion. Muslims, because of that, have rejected him. Hindus, they suspect him. Buddhists ignore him. Atheists hate him. Agnostics deny him. And sadly, Christians misrepresent him. And that's what's taking place because of religion. But when the kingdom is established in people's hearts, Christ gets the glory. Religion boxes him. So Muslims say, oh, he can't be the prophet because someone greater than him. Hindus, they suspect him because he's just one of many other gods. I'm not sure if he was any good. Buddhists, we don't believe in a holy person. Atheists, I hate him. Agnostics, deny him. Sadly, Christians misrepresent him. People say they're Christians and people go, if that's a Christian, I don't want to be one. How can you be a Christian and do those things? And people know that because people think that religion has justified their experience as a Christian. In this world, our search is not for the right religion or for heaven. Our search is for the kingdom of God. From the beginning, I want to establish a kingdom. Christ pointed to the kingdom. Our search is for the kingdom of God. In the Lord's Prayer, he taught us, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. There's always been one that Christ pointed everyone to. The kingdom, the kingdom. Paul talks about, hey guys, if you want to be religious and think you're in the kingdom, you're obeying the right days for worship, eating the right foods or not eating the wrong foods, it's nothing to do with the kingdom. The kingdom is about righteousness, joy and peace in the Holy Spirit. A whole different thing. Righteousness is about a lifestyle inside you that you want to be righteous before God. And if you go through the story of Abraham, he was found righteous because he believed what God said. He trusted what God said. And that's what righteousness is all about. The kingdom puts you in a place of being righteous before God and seeing his kingdom come. Matthew chapter 6, 33 says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. See, Christ is teaching us, come on, put the kingdom of God as your steering rudder first. Here's a steering, here's a rudder. Position yourself in governmental authority first. Until you get your governmental authority right, till you understand that you're here to serve the position God's given you and let that steer your decision-making, you'll start and continue to get it wrong. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. People are wanting prosperity, they want a good marriage, they want a good family. All those things are wonderful. God wants us, but let kingdom dominion steer you. Seek that first, because in the kingdom dominion, you'll find that God will steer you through. But if I'm going to be religious, if I go and do my worship on Sunday and I tithe properly, I'm sure God's going to do it. God says nothing to do with works. Works does not turn God's heart. What turns God's heart is righteousness. Kingdom. Are you going to trust him? It's in my trust of God. I don't trust that I've given money. I trust that my God's faithful. And my trust must be in him. That's what kingdom dominion is all about. Let the right thing steer you. When you are God-centric, you're steered by joy of the Lord. The whisper speaks to you. God's always going to encourage you. The whisper's always encouraging you. If you're going to be egocentric, you're going to be steered by fear or pleasure. And that's where the hiss comes and steers us, challenges us to do things according to another kingdom, another world. That's the hiss. You can't trust God. Can we trust God through the situation at the moment? Of course we can. It's no surprise to God. No surprise to God that this virus has come along and brought the world to a standstill. And here's where the church can rise up and be the best examples in the workplace. Around your friends, go and pray for them. Don't pray fearful prayers. Be faithful prayers. people will ask, what are you guys doing? And say, I'm standing with God. I may have lost my job, but guess what? Job was never my provider.
Yeah, that's right.
God's my provider. I was talking to one of my sons, and he's an employee, and he's pretty concerned that he might lose his position. And I said to him, son, I said, who's your provider? He says, God. I says, right. He says, at the moment, he might be using your job, but if that job goes, the provider hasn't changed. He has a different source of provision, but we must look towards him, because God never leaves us or forsakes us or abandons us. He's always there. When we realize that we seek the kingdom first, we're going to stay strong. In health situation, if virus comes along and has a slap at your family, stay strong in God. He's still your healer. He hasn't changed. He may use the doctors, but God's a healer. And we realize that God never, ever leaves us or forsakes us. Just come with me to a scripture in Matthew chapter 16, my final scripture for today. I just want to open up and understanding what Jesus was saying to his apostles in his journey with his boys, his journey of faith with them. Matthew chapter 16, this was the interesting one. This is the scripture that the faith I had belonged to, or the church I belonged to as a young man. It actually encouraged us to believe in that it was all given over to a man, the authority over a church, and he was going to lead the church, but nothing like the truth of the scripture. Matthew chapter 16, and reading from verses 13, it says, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Interesting. God doesn't waste words in the Bible. And he put this region of Caesarea Philippi for a very good reason, because there's a slide of things coming up. You'll probably see on your screens very shortly, of this place in Caesarea Philippi where Jesus is talking about. We've got a slide coming up there, technology. Hey guys, at the back, slide up. In this region of Caesarea Philippi, thank you, Caesarea Philippi, there is this place called the Grotto of Pan. The Grotto of Pan is a place in Caesarea Philippi where everyone knew, because of Greek mythology, that this was a position where the Pan god, who was the oldest and most senior of all the Greek gods, abided. This god was half goat, half man, and he never lived in a temple or a city, always lived in the forest or in grotto. And this was a place where they say he came out of the planet Earth. And this place is called the Gates of Hell. So Jesus walking by this place, by the gates of hell, and he makes a statement. I'll get you in the picture. So he's walking past this. You can see the people there at the moment. But this is what it looks like. And it's two cliffs and this big cave where the Pan god would come in and out of. And he says to them, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And so they said, some said John the Baptist, some Elijah, another Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. Or he could say this. The Muslims say you're a prophet. The Hindus say you're a holy man. Atheists say you're a troublemaker. Buddhists say you're another philosopher. Agnostics say I'm not sure. So people have all different opinions. But when Peter and the disciples said, you are the Son, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, from flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. So what was the gates of Hades all about? This Pan god. The Pan god. Where does the English word panic come from? Pan god. Panic. The sudden uncontrollable fear that leads people to irrational behavior. Panic is exactly what the enemy is creating over the world right now. A panic pours out upon people's lives because they don't know who Christ is. Because they have religion, or they may have security and finances, but a panic arises and there's an uncontrollable release of decision making. People do crazy things during panic. that causes turmoil. And Christ is pinpointing this very place and saying, hey guys, I want to show you something. Because you know who I am, because you know I am the Son of God, because you know that I am the Son of God, look what he says. The gates of hell shall not prevail against you. Panic shall not prevail against you, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom. What is the kingdom doing in this place? The keys of the kingdom is what? The keys of the kingdom is this. He says this. What you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. There's something about my responsibility or the power I now have. Because if I'm in the kingdom, guess what? I'm in dominion. And I'm going to say to the thing, you can't come into my dominion because you've got no right here. And I'm going to say, I forbid you to come in, or I accept whatever I want to come in. I accept Christ in my world. I forbid panic in my world. People who work in the kingdom, they know what righteousness and joy and peace in the Holy Ghost is all about. Hey, things outside we can never control. But what comes into our world, into my innermost being, God's saying the kingdom gives you the authority to say, enter or not enter. What comes into my house? What TV shows come into my house? What substances come into my house? I'm the one who says yes or no to it. Why? Because I'm in dominion over the territory God has given me. Territory is my body, my eyes, my ears, my lifestyle. What goes into my mouth? I'm the one who says yes or no to it. That's what kingdom life's all about. Seek ye first the kingdom of God to see your decision making, and you'll start seeing the blessing of God flows. And here in this place where the people feared this spot, this is where Pan God would come along and just pour out fear amongst the nations. And he was the lead god of all the Greeks. They were the ones who were actually struggling with fear. And Christ says, I want to tell you something. The gates of hell shall not prevail against the kingdom of God when you know who I am. And when we know who Christ is, the King of Kings, the King of the kingdom, I then begin to walk, not in fear, but in faith. So the difference between the world, religion, and the kingdom is religion can be in fear. I've got to do this unless I'll be cursed. I've got to do this unless I'll go to hell. And I had all those rules as a young man. But when I came into faith, God gave me this liberty to realize that what I allow and what I forbid is associated with a kingdom that he's imparted to us. See, God knows the situation we're in. And he's saying, because you know who Christ is, because you know who Christ is, you can say to that place of fear, of panic from the Pan God and say, no, it's not going to touch my life. I'm going to walk in the authority that God has ordained for me. I'm going to live in faith. I'm not going to go in panic. I'm going to live in peace. I'm not going to give up fear. I'm going to live in faith. I'm not going to be a slave. I'm going to be a son. I'm not going to be in torment. I'm going to be in trust. I'm not going to be in defeat. I'm going to be in dominion. I'm not going to be a victim. I'm going to be a victor. God wants that for every one of us. Today, if you're out there and you don't know who Jesus Christ is, you may still think he's a prophet. You may think he's just a good man. You may have some other opinion about Christ. But today, if you accept him as the Son of God, the King of Kings, today you'll find all that fear has to be put outside you. The things that want to come out from the outside and have entered you would leave you. The guilt, the shame, all that stuff that's come from the outside of actions now reside in you. But God wants to cleanse that and set you free. If you're here today and listen to this broadcast and you haven't received Christ, I'm going to say a prayer. I'd love you to repeat it with me. And you too could receive Christ and be free from the fear. Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for Jesus who paid the price for my sins. Thank you for Jesus who died and rose again. Thank you for Jesus who now is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I trust and believe in him that my sins are forgiven, that he loves me, he cares for me, and he wants to see me free. I thank you for the kingdom that now abides in me. Thank you that I can walk free of all my past and walk into the blessing of the future that Christ has for me. So, mighty God, thank you. I'm now your child. You're my God, in Jesus' name. If that was you today, please contact the church because they'd love to follow you up and encourage you in your journey with Christianity. And now for the church members that you're here today if fear is visiting your life, I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you because I know this amazing church, Ignite, shares Christ. And He is Lord of your heart. He is Lord of your circumstances. Nothing can happen to you without God knowing it. And when you tap into Him, you can say, I forbid that. I forbid to let fear come around my family. I forbid this virus to come and affect my life. I forbid for any situation in business to actually cause me to fear about my future. Because the only sure thing in the future is that God's already there. And I trust Him. He'll lead me to the place of righteousness. Testimonies. I'm sure talk to people about testimonies when people have felt like they've been abandoned and how God brought you to that place. I can tell you many for myself. But God does not leave His children. He loves His children. He loves you. Matter of fact, God loves your children more than you do. Think of that. He's going to care for them. Trust Him with your children. Trust Him with your future. Businessmen, trust Him with the work. If you're going to do some things that are caused by the economic situation, remember that God's got something better for you. Always trust that God's involved. Always, after the death of Christ, there's something better for Him, the resurrection. He knew it. And we've got to trust that. We look beyond the cross to the joy standing before us. God always wants to look by faith into our future, into our life. Let me pray for you. Father, I pray for every Christian. Father, those who are rejoicing and victorious at the moment, those who may be struggling with the situation, the circumstances, I just pray that their life would be so rich and so full now, knowing that with confidence, God's going to steer us through. Father, there's a hiccup in our life for sure. There's a hiccup in the world for sure. But God, You haven't abandoned mankind. Lord, You love us. And You've saved us. You've paid the price when You sent Christ to us. When You sent Jesus and laid Him in the ground, the fruit of that is the church, is the kingdom church, the church that believes in You. And today, I just pray that fear will have no part. I forbid it to take place in people's lives. And I release the joy and the faith that God has for us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Love you all, and I hope to see you another day. And I pray that you'll encourage one another in the faith and never be found with a pan God speaking to you, but the true God, the living God, the Lord Jesus Christ. God bless you.